Radio Lancashire Sport
with Gary Hickson.
It is, and it's the football hour, and welcome along. And, well, he's not so good. Ian McGarry can't be with us tonight on his sick bed, or has he sneaked off to a wedding reception for tomorrow? We don't know. What we do know is Steve Wilkes has been kind enough to fill the chair. How are you, Steve?
Not so bad, Gary, thank you.
So you're not at a wedding then?
Thanks for asking.
Nice. Oh, you've been practising that one. Fantastic. Anyway, do you feel sorry for him? He's not here tonight.
Yeah, of course I do, yeah.
Yeah? Mm. You don't know what's wrong with him yet?
I've no idea.
Well, that's it, you see.
Tell me.
He only sent a sick note. We're not sure he's ill, so...
Have you spoken to him, or has he just texted?
Well, you know, brief word. I think he was in. Anyway, get better soon. No Ian McGarry tonight, but that doesn't mean we're not going to have a cracking night here on the Non-League Hour, because we've got some top guests with us, as always, and we thank them for joining us tonight. One man who, obviously, we want to have a quick chat with tonight is the Nelson chairman, Alan Pickering. He joins us live in the studio, along with the assistant manager of the club, John Westall, are our live guests in the studio. On the phones tonight, we'll be hearing from Liam Watson, the Bursker manager. Phil Entwistle also joins us, I should say. Bamber Bridge boss. He's got a bit of a day on tomorrow. And we'll hear from Stuart Park as well, the Blackpool Mechanics boss, tonight. So plenty to come. Wilksy, first off, run corner a few weeks now. How's it been going?
All right, until last Saturday.
Yeah, what happened? Rammy?
We got beat 4-0, yeah.
Get rammed by Rammy?
Yeah, we got beat by the much better side. I think it showed me one or two things that I probably knew already, that the players I've got at the moment aren't going to get us out of the division. I think that's the task of the job that I've been tasked to do, is bring better players in, and hopefully we can progress as a club and get out of the Northwest Counties.
Okay, well, you kindly come with us tonight and sit in for Ian and take us through some of the fixtures in a little while. Let's have a quick chat with our guests and warm them up, as we say. Nelson chairman first, Alan Pickering. Good evening to you, Alan.
Good evening.
And thanks for coming in tonight.
Pleasure.
Nice to have you with us. And John's with you. John Westall, the assistant manager of this club. Good evening, John.
Hello there.
Now, guys, obviously we heard from Denny, who's been on the programme quite a few times. Denny Khan with us earlier this week. And obviously an absolute pounding last Saturday in his version of events, where he had a quick chat afterwards and decided that was it. So a few things were said in that interview, Alan. Anything to say about it?
Well, I didn't hear the interview.
We can play it for you if you want.
No, that's fine. I mean, Denny's entitled to his opinion. That's why we employed him in the first place, for his judgment. And we had a chat on Sunday, Sunday evening about 8 o'clock. Well, we went through a few things and listened to his explanation, then I told him I'd come back to him later when I'd consulted with other people and discussed it with other members down at Nelson, which I did. Unfortunately, he wanted to make his own mind up about things, and so unfortunately I had to stand him down, to which he immediately retorted that he would resign instead. But I've gone through all the reasons why we'd come to that decision, and obviously I didn't agree with them, but at the end of the day, I have to take Nelson Football Club forward.
It's a difficult time for anyone, isn't it? I mean, you know, no disrespect to any party, including yourself, sat here tonight. That's not what we're about. But it's nice of you to talk about it, same as Denny is. It's nice that you can say it and have your thoughts aired on the radio as well and give your opinion, because I think that's important at this level of football, because, you know, a lot of things go on. I mean, you know, Steve, I don't know how many times we've talked in the past about managers leaving, managers getting sacked, managers doing a runner, whatever they want to call it. It goes with the territory, doesn't it? I mean, Denny, brand new to the game as well. Was that part of the problem there for you?
No, I don't think so. I mean, I've known Denny a long time from his, you know, when his playing days. And he rang me up last year and said if there's an opportunity to get involved, he'd like to. So I mentioned that to Terry, who was the manager at the time for last year. And we took him on as assistant. So, you know, he'd been working for us for about 9 or 10 months now. So he was aware of all the procedures and implications of the position. And when Terry unfortunately had to resign through work commitments, we asked Denny if he wanted to step in for some continuity.
So you give him a go, basically.
Absolutely. I think at the end of the day, we give him a start in Football League management. I know he manages in amateur football, I think, on Sunday.
Sure.
But to manage at this level, you know, I think it's quite a opportunity.
Yeah. I mean, I appreciate also, before I even ask you the question, what it's like at this level of football, finances and everything else, but that was one of the key things he said, that, you know, having players, it was one of his quotes actually, having players ask, how much can you pay us to play? And you say around about 15 quid. And then they say, we get more than that on a Sunday. He said it was difficult to try and work in that kind of atmosphere.
Well, week a week, that's what legitimate expenses we're allowed to pay. And we run, you know, we cut his suit according to his cloth. And if that's what we've got, then that's what we've got. And he knew the situation. He knew what he was working with. So, well, he can't, afterwards, in hindsight, change his mind.
Yeah, so you're saying, but, well, it's fair news, I suppose. I mean, you're saying, you know, you take the role on in all full knowledge of that situation.
Absolutely. We have no people on contracts. We can't afford to put people on a contract down at this club. And we just pay the, you know, the expenses that are allowed by the Football Association.
Yeah. I mean, I suppose, you know, I'm not speaking for him, he's not here, but I mean, playing devil's advocate to that, if you look at the side that gave you a good seeing over, I mean, Newcastle Town, Division 1, Kirkham and Wessham, look at that, New Mills in Division 2. I mean, your finances don't bear any resemblance whatsoever, do they?
No. We have no benefactor. We have no, you know, multimillionaire somewhere sitting in the background. And we find it very difficult with the socio-economic status of the club within the region that it operates in.
Yeah. Steve, let me bring you in, because, you know, you've had to work with no money, you've probably got a bit more where you're at the moment, but, you know, the clubs you've been at, you've never really been at a big wealthy club. It is difficult for a manager, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's a bit difficult for me because I'm sure Alan knows Denny's my, excuse me, my best friend, so Denny's played for me for 10 years, so he's been on the phone to me a few times this week, and he's hurt, I think, that's the word.
That's obvious, isn't it? He's a passionate guy, isn't he? He's passionate young
Very,
man.
Very, and I think it'll, I know he might not think so now, but in time I think the last week will benefit Denny more than he realises. When he's saying, you know, people are asking how much money they're on before you even speak to them, I can understand where he's coming from, but unfortunately that's the real world in non-league football. I mean, I've spoke to players over the, you know, the past 10 years doing this job. When I was at Darwin, we never had a penny for 7 years. Moved on to Paddy when it was the same virtually there. Like Alan's just saying, they only paid like expenses. And players don't realise that, you know, and you know, Denny was one of the players that, you know, that used to get expenses, and now he's seen it from the other side. He's found it difficult, you know, but I do think he'll bounce back. He's a great character. I'm sure many people in non-league football know Denny. And once he's brushed himself down and wiped away his tears, I suppose, he'll come back fighting.
In all reduction, I think anyone would... You react that, don't you? You get wounded pride for a start, Alan. I'm sure you can imagine that.
Absolutely.
I'm sure you've been in a similar situation yourself.
Yeah.
I mean, to be fair, you know, one of his other quotes was, fair play to Alan Pickering yourself. He says, he's given me a go at this, and I've seen what it's like, and I really enjoyed it and appreciate it. The other side of it, not so clever, because the quote was, but in his opinion, he says, I had no backing off the chairman whatsoever. He was supposed to come to our away games, but stayed away and got reports off everybody else. Is he looking at that and implying, saying that, you know, you should have seen it for first hand instead of getting reports back?
No, at the end of the day, Denny was appointed to do the job. Whether I'm there or not is irrelevant. I don't, you know, I don't go to football matches just to watch the manager and the performance and things like that. I mean, usually I don't get to see much of the games. You know, sure. My thoughts are usually concerned with, how can I get people attracted to Nelson Football Club? Can we match this?
Sure.
You know, looking at the opposition, that kind of thing. But when I appointed him, I said, all I want you to do, Denny, you get on with the football, I'll do the rest. And we probably only had about four or five conversations in the four or five months we were together.
So in his first role, I mean, he's respected you, that you give him a chance, and I'm sure, I think, well, we're not talking for him, but I think, like Steve says, in a few months down the line, he'll probably look at it slightly different, but, and hopefully, for his sake as well, he moves on and gets another
job. He'll be a stronger character for it, I'm sure. Yeah. I'm sure that when he goes, when he gets another job, and I'm sure he'll do that as well, because as Steve says, you know, he's a happy chapper.
Yeah.
And that was one of the reasons for his appointment, to go in and lift that, the dressing room.
Because he is vibrant, he is, I mean, you know, only for me knowing him coming in here, he's quite infectious guy, isn't he?
Absolutely, he's a colourful character. Yeah. He's a pain.
He's a pain.
It's crackers, but, you know, that's... you take that as part of it, don't you? That's his personality.
Yeah, that's great. I mean, some of the younger lads who, you know, came in with him, he seemed to be... He wanted that kind of youth to come through, but bring John in. I mean, it's difficult at any level, John. I mean, I'm sure John Westerwood is the assistant manager. I suppose you're tasked also now to get some continuation as well and move this on.
Well, of course, I mean, at the moment, unfortunately, I was there last week. But the guys are they're feeling sorry for the cell at the moment. And it's my job over the next couple of games, while Nick's away, to pick them back up. Because there's good footballers down at Nelson, without question.
Mm-hmm.
They just got to start believing in themselves and take it to the pitch and, you know, the old-fashioned roll up the sleeves and start battling again.
Yeah, is it difficult? I mean, for you in this position at the moment, you find yourself at the moment running the team. Nick Jackson Cooney has been appointed as Danny Khan's replacement,
yeah,
and will take charge for the first time. But is he in charge tomorrow? You?
No, Nick's on a scouting mission in Spain, I believe. So no, he's actually got commitments away. So.
In Spain?
I thought your club had no money. Huh?
Good connections that go back a long time.
But no, I mean we talk on the phone and, you know, it's up to me tomorrow. We've got a game Wednesday as well against Salford.
Sure.
And, you know, we carry on. We dust ourselves down and we carry on.
Well, you better find out what Rami are like then, Steve, eh?
We've already had a chat, yeah. We've already told him.
So, Alan, I mean, thank you. I think, very frank and very honest, I think both of you have been frank, Denny and yourself.
Yeah.
It's very refreshing. It's nice to know that you can do that here as well, and there's no sides or party lines taken either. Yeah. Where do you go from here? What do you expect now? Okay, it didn't work out with Denny. What happens next?
Well, when we moved up into Division 1, we got in through the back door, really, because we went up as third place. Went up with FC United and Flixen, I think it were. So, being honest, I don't think we're really prepared and ready.
Mm.
I don't think the club was ready to operate at that level. But we did, and we said as long as we can consolidate and see what level we have to have and what kind of players we need, what infrastructure we need, then we'll have a go. Because it was first promotion for about 80 years.
Yeah.
So,
that's a bit of a shock then.
Absolutely. You know, but as you say, as Steve says, with some of the players that are operating now at this level, you know, club guys, and it can be a bit of a shock sometimes.
So when you say a bit of a shock, first promotion in 80 years, and you had to change things to go up that level, what actually changes off the pitch? What is it you need to do that you didn't already have?
Well, you need more people. For a start,
just to run the club.
Your expenses go higher.
Yeah.
I mean, I think everybody has a carp about the referees' fees. And sometimes we pay more in referees' fees than we take through the gate, which is sometimes hard to take, but that's the reality of it. As you say, you get your players from a different catchment area, you have to spread your net further, so therefore the expenses increase.
Mm.
Things like that.
So where do you go? I mean, average crowd, home game, what do you get?
80.
How do you, you know, say if you could afford to employ a commercial manager, comes in, say I'm your commercial manager, just been brought in on 2 and 6 a week, and what do you say to me? I want to double the gate, treble the gate. What can I do? What can I do for you?
Well, you can only get people through the gate if you're actually winning matches. So that comes with the preparation of players, as far as I'm concerned. Getting the right players, having the right people in charge, preparing them, knowing the level what they're operating at, and going out and trying to do it.
So basically, a bit of a catch-22, yes, you employ a manager to get the right players to play the right football, to attract the crowd, but if that manager, like the one who's just exited, says there's no money to do that, it's a bit of a catch-22, isn't it?
Yeah, but if you know that situation when you set off, you don't enter the league without knowing the rules, do you?
Yeah.
And it is a catch-22. Success breeds success.
Difficult though. I mean, I'm looking at Steve nodding. He's been there and done it.
We've battled against Steve for the last 10 or 12 years, and we know. I know where he's coming from.
I think one of the problems teams around here have got is that there's that many East Lancs teams.
Yeah.
And there's not. I mean, you know, you could go to Baycup, Nelson, Ramsbottom, Darwin. You know, and they're not going to get 160, 180 people in any week. You know, if they get 100, then they're happy.
Sure.
because there's so many teams in such a small catchment area.
That's kind of what I meant with the scenario. What could I do if I was your commercial manager? What on earth could I do when you look around 10, 15, 20 miles each way? There's another club, there's another attraction there trying to do something as well.
Well, what we have to try and do is to promote ourselves within the business community and get them on board and present ourselves as the club to be associated with. If you can get some kind of sponsorship from a big concern, then I think you're halfway there.
Mm.
Because they can help not only in providing the sponsorship money itself, but in other ways, you know, with the administration, the secretarial, the networking that they've got, the contacts that they've got, and they'll go some way to help, you know, help you with the job.
It's a difficult one. Alan, thank you for the honesty. Okay. We'll come back to you throughout the hour and the remainder. It's 20 minutes past 8, so you've just been listening to the Nelson chairman, Alan Pickering. Very frank views and very frank on the situation his club find themselves in. John Westall's also within the assistant manager. And in the studio tonight, Steve Wilkes, the Runcorn boss, only recently, just played Ramy. Don't want to mention that too many times. Last Saturday and lost 4-0, but he's already told us things may have to move and groove, as they say, at his new club. Let's move on. Let's bring on our next guest on the phone tonight. Liam Watson, the Burscombe manager, joins us on the line. Liam, good evening to you. How are you?
Yeah, great. Thanks, Gav.
Oh, good, mate. Good, mate. Good to hear you. And someone here, Steve Wilkes, who I think you know.
Hi, Wilksy.
How are you, pal?
I'm all right, mate.
Good.
Another good job.
I hope so, mate. Another good job.
Straight in there, Liam.
Yeah, I'm sure you know what it's all about, being there before me, pal, yeah.
Nah.
They still sing your name, by the way.
Yeah, with a chorus of
booze
at the end of it.
No, not at all, not at all. It was funny, actually, because we had a meeting about 2 weeks ago, and it was Liam Watson this and Liam Watson that, and I thought, oh, dear, I've got something to follow here, haven't I?
Yeah.
But all joking apart, mate, it's a good job, hopefully. I might be giving you a ring in the next month or so a few tips, you know.
Don't start doing your business on here, Wilkes.
Any time, mate.
You know, next thing you know, you'll have Ian McGarry buying roof tiles. Pack it in. Burscombe away at Kettering tomorrow. Fancy this, Liam?
I think it's another good game for us. I think we've been doing really well away from home. Definitely go there and attack them. Because someone say to you before the game, would you take a point? Well, of course you would, but would you gamble a point for three? So, no point in us going there and trying to be negative. I think we just go there and have a good go at them, like we've done at Stalybridge and we've done at Harrogate recently.
So, generally, in the last month, been good to you?
Yeah, it has, but it's not really a surprise. We're starting to get the players back. You know, we've had three long-termers from the first day of the season. And, you know, they've come back. Well, two have come back, and obviously Dominic's out for the rest of the season. He had a cruciate done today. So, but all the little niggles are back, and I think once we've got all the players available, we've got a good squad.
Okay, so going well for you. Also, as the old card tally this time of year, and the old suspensions come biting in, they are in the championship already and in the other leagues, so it can't be any different in yours.
No, Farrell suspended tomorrow. That's his last game of a three-game ban, but he should have been up on Tuesday, but the Workington game got called off, so it's followed on, but it fell nicely because Earl Davis is actually back from an injury, so Faz has now got a scrap to get back in on Tuesday.
Liam, it's Steve, you've not played for 2 weeks, have you?
No.
Has that benefited you, or would you rather have had a game in between?
Well, to be fair, Steve, I think because we were on a good run, you want to carry on playing, don't you?
Yeah.
But on the flip side, we've had one or two niggles, so it'll probably tell you 10-5. You know, if you've come out the traps flying, well, it's probably been good. If you come out, like, sluggish and you end up getting rolled over, well, people probably blame it on the break.
Yeah. Have you had lack of friendly in between or anything like that, or have you just been training?
Just been training. If anything, I've given a couple of days off.
Right.
It's probably a decent time for them to have a breather as such. Because as I said, after tomorrow, we've got 12 league games left and a semi-final, hopefully a final.
Okay, can I just ask both of you guys, actually, because I just don't know how you do it, because we've been talking to the Championship managers, Premier League manager like Mark Hughes, about all this horrendous weather we've had in the last 6 weeks and how it's affected training and this, that and the other. What's it been like for you boys?
I think that the non-league lads were just used to it. So, like, if the pitch is frozen, go for a road run, or, you know, obviously higher up the pyramid, and, you know, the conditions have got to be tip-top. They've got to, because they won't take a gamble on a £10 million player going over on his ankle, which is understandable, but I think we just have to grin and bear it, don't we, Steve?
Yeah, I mean, I've never trained on a pitch in about 8 years, so I don't know what all this training on pitches is about. We've been an AstroTurf for 8 years.
Well, that's one of the things I'd like, when I first went to Bearfield, like, Southport wouldn't let you on the pitch at all.
No.
At the time, it was always, like, first class, the pitch.
Yeah.
But they had reserve team games, they had first team games on. But the pitch has actually been a bit rough this season at Southport. Mm. But, like, we've always trained from the day one at Bearsco. We train on the pitch Tuesday, Thursday, play Saturday, the reserves play on it. And our pitch is probably, on the playing surface, one of the best in the league.
Yeah, it's fantastic. I mean, obviously, being at Runcorn, we don't have a ground anyway at the moment as yet, because we play at Witten, but we've got facility on a Tuesday night that we go to a gym, so the lads can do what they want in the gym on a Tuesday, and then Thursday run an AstroTurf, so, and it's not been too, it's been raining a few times, but like you say, they're tough nuts, so they just get on with it.
How do you lads, and when you say that about not playing, you know, the pitch situation, I've watched many training sessions at the professional level, but how do you, it always fascinates me, how do you do all your, you know, your set plays, and how does everybody know what they're supposed to do if you don't have these full training sessions?
Well, I think, for me, I think everything's got to be done in pre-season, and you just stick to what you're going to do, because if you want to start, obviously the odd thing, if you want to work on a little bit of shape or something on the pitch,
sure,
for a certain
game. So it's
game,
that rigid, is it?
Well, I'd say so. Like, I know people get this coach's heads on and say, so I can do this, I can do that, I can coach here and coach there. You know, you're kidding yourselves, you don't have the time. If you play Saturday, you play Tuesday.
Yeah.
You have a warm-up.
And most of your lads work at certain levels, you know.
You're talking to cram everything in to within an hour.
Yeah, I mean, we train 7 till 8 on a Thursday, and by the time your stragglers have turned up, it's 5 past 10 past 7. By the time they've warmed up, it's quarter past 20 past 7, and you've got half an hour left.
Find them, mate.
Well, I said, like, when I was manager at Runcorn, we used to have the JJB, which is like a six-a-side court in Wigan.
Yeah.
And it used to be a case, guys, just get there and play 5-a-side, right?
Yeah. And isn't that, at a certain point, you know, there's nothing wrong with that, is there?
No. Well, if you ask any player, well, it's like you go overboard. I think if you instill what you'd expect in pre-season, you do work on set pieces, and you know, like, I'm not being funny, marking set pieces, everyone's bog standards. Two people on the post, one near post area, one in front of the keeper, three or four picking up, one on the edge of the box and one upfield.
Yeah.
You know, it's not rocket science.
No.
So I think a lot of people make a lot more of it than what it actually is.
Yeah. Do you think it was rocket science when you see some of them goals going that way?
No, you just think it's absolutely dreadful marking and then spaceman switched off.
I don't mean at your level. I've seen plenty this season.
Every level. Honestly, it's nothing to do with the thing. It's just people lose concentration.
Yeah. Oh, blimey, I'm playing football. Yeah, that's the one. Oh, blimey, I should have defended that. I should have jumped.
Yeah.
You see it in the Premiership, don't you? Unbelievable.
Well, the answer's normally, well, I'll talk you through it for the whole 90 minutes next week when you sat next to me.
Listen, great talking to you.
Yeah, you too.
Great to hear from you again. Welcome anytime you like before the end of the season. You know
that. Great.
Cheers and good luck.
Good
by the way, you know what I'm like sometimes in Bezzy on a Saturday? Sometimes I misread things now and again because so much information. Can you just correct this? I did see A Smart on the score sheet. Was I right?
Yeah, he's got a few lately, Smarty.
That's right,
he's been playing really well.
I thought I was just, you know, reading out the wrong name or something.
Yeah, no, he's, I think him getting in the team and getting a run of games, obviously getting his fitness up, has actually coincided with us going on a bit of a run. I think Kieran's been delighted having him alongside, but he's really, really played well the last couple of months.
Yeah, so. He told me to say that so you'd give him a compliment, so there you go. No, he didn't. No, he didn't, actually. Cheers, mate. He's a top lad, and you know it. Thanks a lot. That's Liam Watson, the Bearsco boss. Alan Smart, we're talking about, of course, who does some cracky stuff for us here on Radio Lancashire. Did a great interview with Paul Rahubka as well this week, and his times at Manchester United and studying French and all that kind of business, and then going saving penalties from Teddy Sheringham, which was quite a bizarre turn of events, I think. But 28 minutes past 8, BBC Radio Lancashire, it is the non-league hour. Ian McGarry not with us tonight. He's in his sick bed listening in. He says, is he? Or is he out somewhere? We don't know. Anyway, Steve Wilkes with us tonight, taking the role of Ian McGarry. Mind you, you've not said anything, you know, outrageous yet, so
it's time.
True. This is I'm not egging you on, mate. Believe me, not at all. Also in the studio tonight, we had some good stuff already from him as well. Alan Pickering, the Nelson chairman, and the assistant manager at the club, John Westall, with us through till 8 o'clock, and we thank him for their time tonight. Steve, just carrying on with the Blue Square North Southport. They've also away game tomorrow at Hinckley for them away.
Yeah, I think they've had one or two dodgy results at Southport. I think they need to get back on track. Get 3 points, get back amongst them, everybody. And I think they will you know, I'll get the 3 points tomorrow, I'm quite sure of that.
Okay. And let's just have a quick look at Fleetwood in the Premier Division in the Unibond League. They've got a bit of a toughie away at Gateshead.
Yeah, that'll be a good game. I think Fleetwood are second and Gateshead are third at the moment. So I think Fleetwood have got maybe four or five games in hand on Witten, who are top. I think if they win them all, they go a point or two clear. So I think Tony will set his team out there not to get beat tomorrow. It would not surprise me one iota if they come away with a 1-0 win or even a 3 or 4-0 win, because I know Tony's teams.
Do you know, it's been, I've got to say this, it's been fantastic to watch the progress this year there. It's really good, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I think that you've got to take the hat off, your hat off to the chairman who's, you know, done very well. It's like Alan saying before, when you've got a benefactor, it does help. But, you know, Tony's got to get the right players in. And him and his brother Nigel have done that very well, wherever they've been, really.
Correct.
So,
but it's not, we love success. Everyone loves it. You know, we support everyone around here, but it's just great on the programme to be, you know, reporting on sides like Bursker, Fleetwood, people doing well in respective divisions. And Fleetwood, a smashing team this year, absolutely smashing. Great support as well at the club.
I believe they get 600-700 on that.
Yeah, superb.
Nice.
It wasn't always the case, was it? I mean, there's a long haul there, Alan, if you want to look at that. And I realise, you know, there's been money chucked in there, but to see a side, they've had the bad times, they really have, only a few years ago, and it's a great, I don't know, like the Phoenix Rising, isn't it?
Absolutely. I can remember them coming out to Nelson Football Club,
yeah,
a travelling band, and from then they've gone from strength to strength, so, you know, all credit to them.
Yeah, it's a long road and long haul, and takes some money, I suppose.
Absolutely,
well,
and a lot of hard work.
I remember making my debut at Fleetwood for Southport. Standing at a corner and I meet my tete pie eating out back at head, so I have a lot of affection for the Fleetwood fans.
Yeah. Was it warm?
My goalkeeper picked it up and ate it.
I was going to say, was it warm or a cold one?
It was a cold Monday night and all that.
Oh, dearie me. That's fantastic. What did you feel like when that whacked you on the head?
I can't say on air. I might be getting controversial like Mr. McGarry. But it actually happened to me again, would you believe, when I was warming up for Preston at Blackpool, of all places. Me and Les Chapman were warming up, and somebody threw a pie. It hit me on the shoulder, actually, and Les actually picked it up and ate it as we were warming up. Well, that's Les Chapman for you.
Amazing stuff, amazing. OK, we'll have another guest on the phone for us shortly. Let's just have a quick look then. Good luck to Fleetwood tomorrow at Gateshead. Tough game, but wish them well there. They've done well so far this season. No need to change tomorrow. First Division North, Skelmersdale away at Bridlington.
Well, Skelmersdale are top now. I've only seen them once this season when they played up at Kendal, and they beat Kendal 5-3. Fully deserved it. And I think they've just gone on I think they got beat last weekend, but must have bounced back during the week to go back top of the league. So I think they'll go up to Bridlington and get 3 points.
Yeah. And the likes of, just moving on from what we said earlier, the likes of, we just heard from Liam and saying most of it's pre-season and, you know, you don't do much one-to-ones. The likes of Fleetwood as well and Skem. I mean, success for Skem. Fleetwood are looking for success now. I mean, how much, same again for them, how much work would they get in the week?
Well, it's like Liam says, I mean, in their leagues they're playing Saturday, Tuesday, so they're only training on a Thursday, so they're not going to get that much. At our level, well, even the First Division of the North West Counties, they play a lot of games early doors on a Tuesday, where the Second Division don't. So where I've been able to train Tuesday, Thursdays. But these lads, like you say, they're working all week, and it can only change on a Thursday, so...
Yeah.
I think the beauty of training on your own pitch is that you're not limited to an hour, where, you know, teams like Nelson and Paddyhams and play people like that have got to pay for where they train, so obviously it's only an hour, and it comes back to money again, unfortunately.
Absolutely, that's a horrible word, money, and it doesn't make the difference in your domestic life. It's the same old thing, isn't it? But there you go. Let's have a look at Lancaster. They're home to Radcliffe.
Well, they're flying. You know, Barry's done a great job at Lancaster. I've just been reading that he's really impressed with his front two, who have both played at Kendal this season and both been released by Kendal. So he must be pleased that Dave Foster and Mark Jackson have teamed up well. And
so pleased for him as well.
Yeah, I mean, you know, now he is a top lad.
Do you know, to take that on, as we've said every time, but to see him getting a bit of success now is great.
Yeah, I mean, because he's been Tony Esker's number two for a long time, and a bit like Enty at Bamber Bridge, you know, sometimes number twos don't go on to become decent managers, but these two have really stepped up to the plate and done really, really well, so pleased for them both.
Yeah, good luck tomorrow at Lancaster, the giant axe there. Let's have a look at Bamber Bridge then, big game for them tomorrow against FC United, and we've got on the line now Neil Crowe, the assistant manager there. Neil, good evening to you.
Good evening, Ian. Hey, you all right?
I'm fine, mate. How are you?
Not so bad, thanks.
Now then, you've been looking after the ship, basically, haven't you, while Phil's been off?
Yeah, Phil just took a part-time director of football role, if you will. Because while he's not 100% full health at the moment, so... Yeah, we've been looking after things in the dugout.
And so, you've done all right, haven't you, Neil?
Yeah, we've done all right. We're unbeaten in seven.
That's not doing too bad, mate.
No, it's not. We had a bit of a blip at Christmas, but yeah. Hopefully we're over that now.
Have you enjoyed that?
Yeah. Yeah, it's good. Yeah, it's not as easy as what you think. When you're looking in, it's easier being the assistant.
So the number two role, of course, that you're used to, and that's fine, and that's tough enough, but you step up and then the buck stops for you. Is it a bit different?
It is very different. I mean, obviously, Phil's always there at the other end of the phone, and he makes the major decisions, but during the game, I mean, we brought in Chris Stammers to help us at the moment, and I think bringing in Chris has freshened everybody up, you know, and we've had three good results since Chris has been with us. The training's been more enjoyable. He's got good ideas, so I'm not on my own at the moment. Phil sat in the stand, just where analysing things, and me and Chris are making decisions in the dugout, so yeah, he's all looking good at the moment.
How are you, Crowe? It's Wilksy.
Hey, Wilksy, alright, mate?
How are you?
Not so bad.
You sound a bit better than last time I spoke to you.
Oh, yeah.
I think it was about 3:30 in a pub last Sunday morning.
It was,
Yeah, you're doing well, pal. Really, like I said to you last weekend, really pleased for you and Phil. Obviously, you know, living around the corner from Bamber Bridge and playing there for a while, you always look for the results. And just like I said, I think Enty's done a fantastic job. And long may it continue. Tomorrow will be a great day for you, I'm sure. You're all looking forward to it, because the FC United fans, alright, they might be boisterous, but it's a fantastic atmosphere, and just make sure you go and get 3 points, pal.
Just correct me, is this not the first time FC United have been there, is it?
No, it's the second.
So, I thought so. So how was it last time, crowd wise?
Oh, great.
1,435 last time.
Oh, the atmosphere.
Pie man didn't know what to do, eh?
Unbelievable atmosphere. For a non-league game, it's best I've ever experienced.
Yeah. Did you have to get just cans in to make sure they got enough? Or?
They set up a false bar in the back of the club as well, so there's two bars going.
And you know, the funny thing about it is wherever you FC United play and you go through the town in the morning, they're everywhere.
Yeah.
Coming out of every pub.
So it's worth a few bob to the town involved as well, is it?
Revenue-wise, yeah. Not just the football club, I mean, the pubs do. I drove through Bamber Bridge at 11:30 on the morning of the last game, and there were fans stood outside pubs, it were like.
I know we've talked about this each time they play, but it is an amazing phenomenon, isn't it, since they've been around. I mean, this kind of money just after one game is unheard of, unless it's a real major cup run or something, or, you know, in the years gone by in non-league.
It's great for all the teams in the league, you know, they can get extra revenue from this. I mean, us getting them twice at home, it's great for the club.
And also, tell me if I'm wrong, Neil, but I mean, not that players need any boosting up sometimes, but they don't want to go out and show that they can have a go against FC.
Well, definitely. I mean, if I was a player and I played in the last game, I'd be buzzing now waiting for tomorrow's game. The atmosphere was tremendous.
Yeah, that's it. I mean, I was lucky enough to take Paddy to FC United's first ever home game at Gig Lane, where they had just short of 3,000 on, and it was just absolutely unbelievable.
Did you win, Wilksy?
I got beat 3-2.
Okay.
Dodgy referee.
Not bad, though. 3-2, that's all right, that.
Bad penalty decision by the ref.
I think the added thing this season, as Ian McGarry mentions quite often, quite right, it's a good point, actually, that they've come up this level now. It's not, they're not just the big boys anymore. They're getting taken on a bit more.
Yeah, I think, since they've come up into the Unibond, and don't get me wrong, they're doing very well, and they're in a good position, but there's a lot of teams that are very even in this league. It's a very tough league. Over the last 18 months, from the games I've seen, there's not much between the top and the bottom. You've got the likes of Clitheroe and Chorley who are down there, but they're as tough to play against as what your FC United's, your Bradford Park Avenues are.
I think, Gary, the problem FC United are going to have is that if you look at the league table, they've only played 23 games.
Yeah.
Teams around them have played 28, 29. And when you're playing at a ground like they've got Gig Lane, obviously Bury's going to be the first choice for the fixture that week. I mean, I've felt that at we play.
That's
at Witton,
an interesting point. You mean when they get to the end and they've got to cram games?
Oh yeah,
that's an interesting point. That Wilkes.
I mean,
yeah,
I think you might. I think
they're not the best pitch in the world either, is it?
No, and I think last year they took a couple of games elsewhere, home games. Yeah. They went to, I think, Radcliffe,
and they've had this little bit of a oody do with the league themselves, haven't they? About a postponement of a couple of games as well.
I believe so. Yeah. So
they've been playing cup games at Radcliffe Borough as well.
Yeah,
right.
Interesting. Well, listen, all I can say, Neil, is well done for your time in charge. I think you've done a cracking job.
Thank
and
you.
I'm sure Phil would echo that if he was here with us tonight. Wilksy, it's not bad, that, is he? Number
no.
two taking over and unbeaten.
Not bad. What,
not bad, he says.
Coming at me if you want.
I've told you, don't start doing your business on air. Stop it.
He does. I did lend him £30 last Saturday, though, about 3 o'clock.
But it sounds like he needed it if he was still at 3 o'clock in the morning.
40 back, didn't
I? Just a minute, guys. Which pub do you get in at 3 o'clock in the morning?
Oh, I can't tell you, mate.
Exactly. Anyway, Neil, have a good sober day tomorrow.
Thank you very much.
All the best, Neil.
All the best, Crowley, mate.
Cheers,
good luck to Bamber Bridge.
Right.
Big game, that, against FC United. It is. I mean, Alan Pickering's with us, and Nelson Chairman, talking about money, and it all seems to revolve around money, everything we talk about. You fancy that? A couple of games against FC United at your place?
Yeah, we've had a couple of games against them. Yeah.
I mean, right now.
Well, I don't think we'd fit them all in, but no. We'd like that again, yeah.
Yeah, big time. It's excellent stuff, it really is. Let's move on. Look at Chorley tomorrow, Steve. They're away at Harrogate Railway.
Well, Esbo's come in and done a really good job. You know, so let's hope we can continue that tomorrow. It'll be a tough game, you know. I know Harrogate are just a little bit above Chorley in the league. I think they're a bit like FC United. They've not played that many. But I think if Tony goes there and gets a point, I'm sure he'll be happy. If he can get 3 points, then obviously he'll be ecstatic.
Okay, nice little turnaround there, as you said as well. Now, Clitheroe, nice one. This Rosendale at home to Clitheroe.
Yeah, another local derby. And like I say, I know Neil Reynolds quite well. He played for me for a few years. They're finding it tough this season. They had a good result during the week. I think they drew at Bradford Park Avenue 1-1. I think the Bradford manager got sacked after that, would you believe? So, but that'll be a tough game. Local derbies, you can never tell who's going to win. I'll go for a Clitheroe win, because I think Neil and Pete Smith need the points, so hopefully they can get 3 tomorrow.
Okay, interesting. 19 minutes before 9, BBC Radio Lancashire. Don't forget, coming up, Brian with all the new bands in Lancashire between 9 and 10, and then some great decades, 4 or 5 of them in all, with John Clayton, the voice of youth, and Sean McGinty with FNAT from 10 through to 1 here on BBC Radio Lancashire. Okay, guys, let's look into the Vodcat League then in Division 1. We've had a brief word about Nelson, who are with us tonight, assistant manager John Westall and Alan Pickering, the Nelson chairman. Now, Rami come to town for you tomorrow, Alan and John, but prior to your game, Steve, they've not done anything really remarkable for quite a few times, have they?
Thanks, Gary.
But just pointing out the point, you know, I mean, it's got to be said, hasn't it?
I hope my chairman's not listening.
I'm not. I'm just making the point from a Nelson point of view.
No.
Was that our first win in 10, wasn't it?
Yeah, first win since November, if you must know.
Thank you.
But they fully deserved it. I'm not going to, you know, tell any lies or anything like that. 4-0 didn't flatter them. You know, they deserved it. We had a lad sent off with 15 minutes to go when it was 1-0, but, you know, they could have been 3 or 4 up before that.
Yeah.
It's like I said before, it really showed me last week what kind of job I've got. And I was talking to John before we came on air, and Ramsbottom played very, very well. I think they changed the system from what they've been playing with the week before, because we had them watched at Trafford. Where they played 4-4-2, and they came out and played 3-5-2. So all our training on that Thursday night went out the window.
Yeah.
But they fully deserved it, you know. They've got a lad in the middle of the park. His name, I can't quite remember. I think they've got on loan from Ashton United, who absolutely run the show. And if they can stop him from playing, then they've got a good chance.
John, obviously you said you're charged with taking on this tomorrow and also picking up from, you know, a week what's seen a manager go, and the club has to re-establish itself against a side, obviously, are going to be buoyant because of that win.
Well, yeah. I mean, every week we know what we're up against at this level. But we go into it, like I said earlier, we need to start rolling our sleeves up and start performing for 90, 95 minutes. But it's got to be done week in, week out. I mean, you look at our fixtures, our running, we've got all the top sides to play. Salford twice, Congleton, Newcastle again, Flixton. It doesn't really matter to me who we play against. We've got to do it.
Yeah. Now, personally for me, and in sport, money shouldn't be the motivation. We've already discounted money as far as any motivational value for your players. So how do you motivate them after the battering last Saturday, losing the manager, bit of upheaval, and then you go out and play a side who've had their first win for months?
Well, again, it's... I mean, Denny's now gone. You know, we've got to move on as a club. I mean, this time... I've been at the club 15 months, and I've... Mm. I've seen Gary Bradshaw go, I've seen Terry Fowles come and go. Denny's another one. I'm doing quite well, actually.
Not bad, that, 2 inches away from the chairman.
Yeah, well, I suppose it helps sitting on his knee, really, doesn't it? But,
very good.
But, you know, we'll approach it. I'll get them going tomorrow. And, you know, it's one or two of them have got a point to prove because they didn't do the self-justice last week.
Mm-hmm.
We'll see what happens.
Would some of those players, in all honesty, would they look at themselves and say, well, you know, blimey, maybe manager might still be here, would there be a bit of that going around?
Listen, Newcastle are top of the league, and from what I saw last week, rightly so, I mean, it just seemed to be 11 6-foot athletes and... Yeah. The passing and the movement.
Well, it wasn't the best side to go up against in that position, was it, really?
But it's same with any team, isn't it, yeah. Really? I mean, we've all got to play each other.
Sure.
10-1, it hurts. I'm the world's worst when I get beat. It spoils my weekend, but, you know, we don't give up.
Sure. Alan, chairman of Nelson, Alan Pickering, I mean, pointed out all the obvious things there to your assistant manager, and you quite rightly said, you know, you employ someone to do that side of the job. You must have a little bit of empathy that the job in hand is a pretty difficult one at the moment.
Absolutely. When you're bottom at the table, but there's only one way you should be going, and it's down to preparation. So everything's down to preparation, you know,
mm-hmm.
Right from the very top, from me all the way down, right through to the management staff, down to the players. And the players have to accept some responsibility for Denny's departure last week. It's the players that let him down, you know.
Mm.
They can argue that. Manager's helpless once they've stepped over the white line, sure. Once they're on the pitch. You know, so...
Responsibility's hard to shoulder for some, though, isn't it? Some people, I mean. Don't take to it kindly, do they?
No. No, but life's all about responsibility, isn't it?
Sure, absolutely.
And it's about making poor choices and good choices. And if you make more good choices, then everything should be fine.
What honest answer, really? Yeah. Honest question from me. Sat there, you sound like a man who wants success. You've got no money to make that success happen. And you're expecting from others around you to do what they're charged to do. What would it mean to you, and how disappointed would it be to still be in this position at the end of the season?
Very disappointing. Because it means that we haven't built on the success we had a couple of years ago. And you've got to move forward. So at the end of the day, I have to look at my position in that, haven't I? If the club's not going forward, it's down to me. I understand that completely. I accept my responsibilities. But I just hope that everybody is as passionate and committed to doing the very best for Nelson as I am.
Sure.
If they work as hard as me, then I'm fine.
Yeah.
If we get it wrong... We suffer together.
Same chairman, 3 managers in 15 months, though.
Well, 2 resigned. Look at my record.
Very good.
I've only finished 2.
Very good.
1 now and 1 6 years ago.
Very good. I like it. Excellent stuff.
I think the players have got to look at themselves after a 10-1 defeat, sure. Gary. I mean, I were fortunate enough never to lose 10-1. And so I don't know how you react from it, but I'm sure some of them players will have gone out last Saturday night and had a good time and not even worried about it one iota.
Well, that's bad, though, isn't it?
I mean, that's it.
Whether you're getting paid 10 pence or 10 grand, £10. Why play if you're going to feel like that?
It doesn't matter if, you know, talking about getting players in that will play for you for £500, they're not going to stick their head in. And if the ball's coming in, they're not going to think, well, I'm only on £15 here. That doesn't happen. Sure. Players play. The difference is...
Well, you take your choice, don't you? Yeah, they want to play, you don't.
The difference is that you can't go and get that decent player I mean, no disrespect to the players that I'm talking about, you know, 450, 60, 80, £200 or whatever they pay, you know, you've got to rely on your contacts, you know, and I think Denny, unfortunately, didn't have that many contacts in the game and was bringing young lads in that he's known from, was it Sunday League, who just weren't good enough, you know. I'm sure in time they will be good enough, but, you know, to get beat 10-1, I think the players have got to look at themselves.
I think you've got, but that's the kind of question I was putting to John earlier. That's what I kind of meant with that, because no matter whether you consider, and all happens these days in football, the chairman gets it, the manager gets it, you know, it's their fault, this fault. It's never anybody else's fault, is it? It's always those two people at any club. If the chairman's not getting his hand in his pocket, he's useless, he's got no ambition. The manager's not getting the results, he's useless, he's out the door. And everyone ignores the players who are playing on a Saturday. It's just, that was the point I was trying to make. You know, you've got to look at yourself, haven't you?
Yeah, I don't think there's many chairmen been sacked, has there?
No. Not at this level, no. But, you know, higher up as well, I suppose, not many either. But, yeah, I mean, the bottom line is managing the players for me. Simple as that. And you're charged with that responsibility of getting results. It's a results-led game. You ain't getting the results, you're going to get pressure.
Of course you are.
Simple as that. But thank you for your honesty tonight, Alan. And we wish you well, John. And let's hope you can pull that round as well. Where do you actually go from here? Can I ask you this question? Where do you go from here? You say at the moment the people in charge are in charge. Is that the way it's going to stay? Yeah, Alan.
Well, it can't be football, can it? It's the game. It's dynamic. It evolves. Things happen. We do it for the right reasons. We're not doing it professionally. We're not paid for it. So therefore, things can happen. Families commitments come first. All that kind of thing. And you've just got to make sure that you're prepared if something does happen, that you've got a contingency plan.
Mm-hmm.
And that you can cope with problems as they arise.
Sure.
And I think that's what we call experience. And the older you get, you should have more experience.
Yeah.
And you should be using all that experience to make expedient or pragmatic decisions. Yeah. That's the way the clubs run.
Absolutely. Mate, I wish you all the best. And I hope you can get out of this between you as a team effort anyway and get out of that bottom end of the table.
Thank you.
No problem. Stay with us, obviously. 10 minutes to go before 9. Steve, let's nip through the rest of the fixtures here. As we just mentioned there, Nelson against Ramsbottom, Flixton against Colne. We'll have a look at that. Colne away tomorrow.
Yeah, Flixton are a funny side at the moment. They got beat during the week, 3-1 off St Helens at home. I'm just reading Nigel's piece, saying his forwards aren't scoring enough. Flixton's always a strange place to go to, because beginning of the season, if you go there, they're paying big money, but as soon as they're out of the title race, they stop paying, so they lose one or two players. So Cole might be going there tomorrow at a nice time. We've got them in a few weeks, so I shouldn't be saying this, really. But yeah, I think Colne will go there and get something tomorrow.
Not lost away till since September, so they've got a decent run, aren't they?
I'm glad we played them at home then.
And I mean, they're going good form, Colne, so great chance of possibly turning that over, I think, tomorrow.
Yeah, you don't know what side Flixton are going to turn out against you week in, week out, you know, so Nigel will have his players up. He knows his stuff, Nigel. You can ring Nigel and ask Nigel about any player in the North West Counties, and he's got a dossier on every single player. Sure.
Good form, unbeaten in 4 league games are going to that, so they've got the best chance of most, I think, to take some of it from that. Let's hope they can do it as well. And what about Bacup? They've got home game tomorrow against Glossop.
Well, I think Alan will be hoping Glossop can do him a favour tomorrow.
I do.
Glossop were my first game in charge of Runcorn. Big, strong side. And we were fortunate to beat them 2-0. It could have been 2-0 either way at half time. But we stuck to it and played well second half. But I think Glossop will probably just have a little bit too much of Bacup tomorrow.
I've got to say, we know him well, but it's just a strange anomaly, isn't it, this stuff? Bacup Borough, relegation trouble we know. 10 successive away games. This is their first home league fixture since October the 20th. Absolutely bonkers,
yeah,
isn't it?
Yeah, it's ridiculous. I mean, that, unfortunately, Bacup's pitch is not the best in the league, but surely.
But even so, he's just ridiculous.
I know. Well, there's not much to say. I mean, I'm sure if Ian was sat here, he'd be going on about Bacup's pitch, but something needs to be done. You know, you can't have that many games called off. I wouldn't have thought, you know. Slight bit of rain and I believe it's called off, so is that my controversial bit for you?
I don't know. Don't fuss or lose there, eh?
Sure, Brent will be on the phone.
Okay. Let's have a look at Winsford. That's the opposition for Squires Gate.
I've not seen either of these two this season. I don't know if you have, Alan. We've got Winsford Tuesday night at home, so...
Very workmanlike, organised.
Winsford, yeah.
Stick to the jobs.
I mean, I know Squires Gate are going quite well, aren't they?
Squires Gate are a very big team, physically. Yeah. Very big. They're very powerful at set pieces.
I think we've played them twice, so I'm all right about that.
This is a personal show, isn't
it? Yeah, of course it is.
Ah, dear, I don't know.
I would think that at this moment that Winsford would...
Winsford
win. Back at, yeah, 2-0, 2-1.
Mm-hmm. Only lost once in the last 8 league games. Squires Gate doing very well.
Yeah.
Wish them well tomorrow. Also, a big game, Division 2 Trophy semi-final first leg. Kirkham and Westham in action again, away at Ashton Athletic.
Well, if Kirkham haven't got one eye on next Saturday, they'll win that quite comfortably.
Yeah, that's the problem, isn't it, when you're successful in a few different things.
Yeah, I watched them Tuesday night against Ashton Town, and they left 4 or 5 out and brought 4 or 5 fringe players in, and they were losing 1-0 for an hour. And then he made 3 substitutions and they ended up winning 3-1. So it just depends what kind of side he puts out tomorrow. I'm sure, you know, he will have one eye on next Saturday. Mm. I know they've got a game Tuesday night as well.
Bit rum at this level, isn't it, having a squad rotation? Hey?
Coming back to...
Rafa.
Coming back to that horrible word again. Money.
Rafa. Unbelievable. Yeah. Wish him well. Let's have a look at Division 2, helping us out with that. Let's bring on the Blackpool Mechanics manager, Stuart Parker. Hi, Stu.
Good evening, Gary.
How are you? All right?
Okay.
Are you at the disco, mate?
I've just... one of my players is just phoning me, can you believe it? Excuse me a second.
Oh, well, we'll come back to you then. We don't like your ringtone. Back to Stuart in a second. He must be one of the big important player. Hey, I'd bin him, wouldn't you? I'm live on radio. Get him binned. Back with Stuart in a second then. Let's have a look at Darwin. What are your former old clubs? Hoker Old Boys away.
Yeah, that's it's a tricky game at Hoker. You know, the pitch is on a massive slope. So, to use a cliche, it will be a game of 2 hours.
Are you back with us, Stu?
Yep.
Okay. Who was it? Centre half, centre forward, full back?
He should have been the top scorer in the league, but for doing his knee, he's just coming back.
Oh, good man. Excellent. All right, we're just talking about Darwin away at Oak Grove Boys first, Stu.
We played Darwin last week. They're very young, enthusiastic, lacking know-how. Holker seemed to have picked up at home after a bad first half of the season. They won... one or two of the better teams in the division.
Yeah.
I think they're too strong physically.
Okay, only got a couple of minutes left, Stu, unfortunately. Yeah. Paddyham, home to Stone.
Who?
Paddyham.
Paddyham, well, I mean, we were, when Steve was in charge there, we were slightly fortunate to get a draw. They had a 20-minute spell in the second half where they did everything but score. We'd got a fortunate goal early in the first half, and they got their equaliser, and I say came at as well. So Stone, on the other hand, again, they're a little, they're youngish side, but they attack quite well. I don't know, I'll probably go for a draw.
Okay, mate, what about your own game? You got a home game against New Mills tomorrow.
Well, what can you say? At the moment, for obvious reasons, they're way clear at the top of the league, only lost one game, league game, in this season. I saw them against Bootle, I saw them against Chadderton, and they're a good side, obviously. We've hit a little bit of form, we've slowly but surely been improving over the last 2 or 3 months, and we want to give a good show of ourselves, so no matter what, you won't find us rolling over.
Conditions, a bit windy on the old Blackpool coast this morning when I was getting up. What's it been like today?
It got windy a bit later. The pitch is actually quite firm. In spite of all the rain, it's quite firm. So there'll be no problem about the game being on.
It dries off well there with the winds anyway, doesn't it?
So. Too much so sometimes.
Yeah, absolutely.
But no, as they say, it'll be a hell of a game.
Absolutely. Stu, we've got to get you in the studio before the end of the season.
Yeah, no problem.
We'll get you and John over or something before the end, eh?
Yeah, I'll look forward to
that. All right, mate. Well, good luck.
Thank you.
All the best for tomorrow.
Okay.
Cheers, mate.
Bye.
Stuart Parker with us tonight, the Blackpool Mechanics boss. Good luck to him tomorrow and all our local sides as well. Steve Wilkes, thanks for coming in tonight and helping us out. Who have you got tomorrow?
We're away at Formby.
So you're not on our patch anymore, you see, mate. No. Where are you, Formby?
We've got Bake Up in a few weeks.
Well, that's all right. We'll talk about you then.
Yeah, we're away at Formby.
Oh, all right. And may I say, just a final thank you, John Westall, the assistant manager of Nelson. Good luck to you and the lads tomorrow, mate. Out on the field. I hope he goes well. And if some of them are listening tonight, let's hope the Rovers are pricking up as well. And go on, get out there and get a win. Alan Pickering, Nelson chairman, have been with us tonight. Very frank, very honest. And as I said, Alan, thank you for that. And thanks for joining us on Radio Lancashire tonight. And good luck to you. And let's hope we can get away from that bottom end of the table.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thanks for coming in. Well, Wilksy, thanks for standing in for the man McGarry.
Pleasure.
And we'll see you again. And good luck tomorrow. Well, can we wish you well done tomorrow? Who have you got?
Yeah, of course you can.
Of course I can. It's Formby, isn't it?
Formby.
All the best, then.
Cheers, mate.
Cheers. Steve Wilkes with us tonight. And Ian McGarry, your guess is better than mine. Don't know. Could be a wedding. He could be off with some aunties in Gary. I don't know. You know what I mean? He might even be in Florida. We don't know. But hopefully back next week. Same time, same place here on the non-league air. Good luck to all our local sides. Special one next week, building up to that big game for Kirkham and Wessham. The mob will be in the studio with us next week, because that is some game, isn't it? We followed them all the way down there with that win. What can they do in the next round? Not far away, maybe, from a final. We'll see. But they're with us next week. Let's keep their eyes firmly, though, on tomorrow, Ashton Athletic, and then move on to that. Thanks for your company tonight from Gary Hickson. Back with you tomorrow at 2:05 as we take you through a big championship weekend and then Rovers on Sunday. Next up is Brian.